Shalom Aleichem. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Chagiga Yud Gimel, Chagiga 13a, pagination is 25. Our Mishnah told us, V'lo b'merkava b'yachid, that there are certain restrictions on teaching Torah. In particular, the merkava, the heavenly chariot, as it's described, is something that we don't teach normally. We give certain hints to people who are perceptive and we guide them, but there are restrictions to what we will teach different people. So that section of Merkava is described in the book of Yechezkel, and we'll try to get that to that in a few moments, some lessons regarding Yechezkel Hanavi. But before we do that, we have a Gemara that has very significant impact in halacha. Moving into the medium lines, two lines down, Amar Rabbi Ami says, a Moshim Divrei Torah la'akum. We don't typically go out of our way to teach Torah to a non-Jew. In other words, there are religions that are very into proselytizing. They really want to teach their wisdom to others, and Judaism, at least on some level, is not into that, and we don't teach to other people if they discover on their own, if however they get the information, but it's not on our agenda to preach and to teach many aspects of Torah. The Gemara cites one pasuk, Lo asachin l'chal goyim mishpatim b'yida'um, that we don't go out teaching non-Jews. There's also a pasuk, Morasha Kihilas Yaakov, that Torah is an inheritance to the congregation of Yaakov, and we don't go out purposely to teach others. The question that comes up and raises a general question, what is it that we will teach, what is it that we won't teach, is what about a person who wants to convert? So, Reb Moshe Feinstein in Yoredeya Gimel Simen Tzadi observes that there's definitely such a thing as a person sincerely converting to Judaism without knowing all the laws. That definitely could take place, but we don't recommend it, and it's not logical that we would want that, and therefore we're going to want to teach Torah on some level to the non-Jew who wants to convert. How do you do that? I thought we don't go ahead and do such things. And there are a number of distinctions that are made, which are very important to appreciate in the foundation of understanding the Gemara. And from there, halacha will end up being applied. For example, one of the obvious things is that perhaps when it comes to Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, the seven Noahide laws, or other ethical topics that non-Jews are bound by. So it makes sense that a Jew is allowed to teach ethics, as understood from Torah, to a non-Jewish audience. This is mentioned as well by Reb Nissim Gaon in his introduction to Maseches Brachos. Another possibility is that Torah Shebichsav, the written law, which Moshe was instructed to translate into 70 languages, presumably, if it's intended to be translated into 70 languages, one understanding is to share it, so that people are supposed to understand, even the non-Jewish world, the Jewish perspective would be that they should be aware of basic Torah concepts. Another approach, which is mentioned by the Marsha, is that perhaps teaching the would-be convert the laws is okay, but it's the depth, the Tamei HaMitzvahs, the Sisrei HaMitzvahs, the depth of hidden reasoning behind the mitzvah that's prohibited to be taught, but it's not restricted or discouraged as far as the basic teaching of Torah and mitzvahs. And that may very well fit into our Gemara, in which this Gemara is brought up on the topic of Maisa Merkava, which is truly restricted topic for most of Jews. We don't learn the heavenly chariot. And likewise, we're being told that other hidden parts of the Torah are going to be restricted from being taught. Continuing on the topic of Yechezkel, counting up from the bottom of the page, five lines, Omar Rav Yehuda, Baram, Zechor Oso Ha'ish L'Tov, remember that person for good, Hananya ben Chizkiya Shemo, his name is Hananya ben Chizkiya, we encountered him in Meseches Shabbos, El Molei Hu Nigna Sefer Yechezkel, if not for what he did, the book of Yechezkel would have been hidden, because we recognize that Yechezkel was a great person, but his teachings were not understood. They were too involved and hidden in things that the average person reading it would get the wrong idea and would perceive it as a contradiction. And this also explains why there are lots of areas of Torah that we won't teach, because it'll simply confuse a person who is not adept at the nuance and appreciating the deeper aspects of Torah. Shayu devarav sosim divrei Torah, there were parts of Yechezkel that appeared to contradict basic Torah thought. Ma'osa, what did Hananya ben Chizkiya do? He'elulo gimel meos garvi shemen, he brought up 300 barrels of oil. If you could imagine, of a barrel of oil, you're able to fuel your candle, your wick, your lamp, with a little bit of oil. V'yosha ba'aliyah v'darshu, and he stayed in that attic with that oil, understanding that he's going to stick to it until he explains all of the book of Yechezkel, and he was going to get his light from these 300 barrels of oil. He didn't expect to run out of oil anytime soon. Moving on to the second side of today's daf, so we're told that there was a great stormy wind coming min hatzafon, about 10 lines from the top, coming from the north. So from Bavel, from Babylonia, there's a great storm that's taking the world. And the Gemara asks at the end of a line, Leheichan Ozal, where is this stormy wind going? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Shalach Lichbosh Eskola Olam Kulo Tachas Nebuchadnezzar HaRosha. This storm wind was symbolizing, was the heavenly energy that was conquering the world for Nebuchadnezzar HaRosha, the person who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. V'chol kach lama, why was this so important? The Gemara asks, Shalo yom ru'umos ha'olam, so that the nations of the world shouldn't say, B'yad umos shefeila masar HaKadosh Baruch Hu esbanav, it would be embarrassing if it was a lowly nation that conquered the Beis HaMikdash. So Hashem made it that it's a world power that ends up conquering the Beis HaMikdash. So first he becomes a world power, and then he goes ahead and conquers the Beis HaMikdash, all to respect the dignity of the Jewish people. Tosfos mentions this concept as it's brought in the Gemara Gittin, four lines down in Tosfos, Kol HaMeitzer LeYisrael Na'aseh Rosh, anybody who afflicts the Jewish people, causes distress to the Jewish people, becomes a leader, because Hashem wants that if the person is going to oppress us, it shouldn't be a no-name oppressor. It should be someone who's recognized. At least it should be done out of dignity. It's going to be a world power. Very fascinating philosophical type of concept. That does not mean that the person is being rewarded or that things will go well for them because they chose to oppress the Jewish people. On the contrary, we're told, Lefnei Shever Gaon, before they are broken, they will reach a point of haughtiness. And from that haughtiness, from those lofty heights, they get thrown at a resounding crash. And the description of that classic is Haman, who decides he's going to oppress the Jews. He is placed in a great position of prominence, and from that, he is promptly thrown to his downfall. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.